views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking today from Hubbard Radio here on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. You may be listening here live. You might be listening in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230. I'd like to give a shout out to the people there at the station who are also doing the things that Benny does here. You might be listening somewhere across the United States on cable radio network or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, we're going to be talking about something really interesting today that we're going to be able to apply in our lives by the end of the day. And I'm really excited to share it with you. But first, I have to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hey, good morning, Christine. So is it the end of the day for me or for all people or in general? Or is, I mean, work day? I mean, my
day's intrigued. Just getting going.
Okay, you know? So we're going to have to wait then for you. But for me, I'm only an app 55 minutes away.
I know. But it is Friday, and yeah, I'm really excited. I'm teaching a seminar this weekend.
Yes.
Actually, two seminars. One Saturday, Sunday, and then another one on Monday, and got people coming from three different countries. It's a small group, but it's going to be really, really special, so I'm so excited about that.
Jam-packed for you. Busy, are you?
It is, and I'm just so excited about my guest today because, you know, with my background in statistics, you know, I used to work in the scientific realm, and even though I'm in the energy healing realm of things these days and self-empowerment, I really love science, but I particularly love science when you can connect it to the self-empowerment and transformation. And that's what my guest today does, and it's really important.
That little link is what you're looking for.
Yes.
And that's you do.
And we're going to be talking about the brain.
Aha!
Yes.
I knew it.
And we're going to be talking today to Brant Courtwright. He's a PhD, highly respected clinical psychologist. He's also a professor of psychology at California Institute of Integral Studies, and he specializes with his consulting practice and his writing in cutting-edge brain health and neuroscience-informed therapy. And his latest book, he's got multiple books, but his latest book is called The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life, which I find fascinating. I'm so happy to welcome today Brant Courtwright. Hi, Brant.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm fascinated with this. I have to tell you, before we get into the brain health and stuff, right off the bat in your book, I'm having to learn that something I learned when I was in my 20s is absolutely false. I remember. This is several decades ago. I remember learning, okay, be careful how much you drink in terms of the alcohol because it kills off brain cells. And once they're dead, they're gone. So if you want to have adequate brain cells by the time you're 50, 60, or, you know, whatever my definition of old was then, I knew that I had to, you know, not drink too much, you know, 20-something early.
Spoiler alert!
I know.
I guess I'm out.
I know. But the first thing off the bat in your book, Dr. Courtwright, is that assumption actually isn't true. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's right. This was considered gospel for all of the 20th century, that our brain stops growing new brain cells by the time we're in our early 20s.
Uh-huh.
And after that, it's just one slow die-off.
Right.
And then in the late 1990s, they discovered that actually that was all wrong. Everything we've learned about it, everything we thought we knew was wrong about that. That actually the brain does make new brain cells throughout our entire lifetime,
wow,
a process called neurogenesis. the generation of new neurons. Okay. And they didn't know what the significance of that was for some years. Only in the past few years has it become clear that our rate of neurogenesis is a hugely important biomarker for health, and for brain health in particular.
Okay, so why don't you describe to the layperson what a biomarker is, please?
Okay, like an indicator.
Okay, great.
So it turns out that low rates of neurogenesis, that is, a low rate at which your brain is making new brain cells, low rates of neurogenesis are associated with memory problems, with cognitive decline, with anxiety, with stress, with depression, even lowered immunity. And high rates of neurogenesis, that is, high rates at which our brain is making new brain cells, are associated with the opposite, with rapid learning, rapid problem solving, with cognitive enhancement, with robust emotional resilience, and protection against stress, anxiety, and depression.
What I find so
this book is about increasing our rate. Go ahead.
What I find so fascinating about this is, again, this is an assumption that I've made, you know, before I started reading your work, is that basically we have to worry about brain cells dying off or not having a healthy brain in terms of things like avoiding dementia. But you're talking about how the brain affects far more than that. It's not just cognitive ability, which I find fascinating.
That's right. I got into this really through consciousness studies and looking at consciousness both psychologically and spiritually over the past 20, 30 years as a professor of psychology here in San Francisco. And what it led me to was the brain, because every level of consciousness we experience through the brain.
Right.
So body, heart, mind, spirit, everything we experience, every sensation, every emotion, every thought, even every spiritual state we experience through the brain. So a low-quality brain means a low-quality consciousness, low-quality life. And a high-quality brain means a high-quality life.
Right. So instead of, I think that there are people out there who are, you know, who are seeking greater consciousness. And I think that we have a tendency to underappreciate the function of the brain. What you're talking about is essential for all that experience.
That's right. And I think I underestimated it for a long time, too. Mm-hmm. And I think we all underestimated it. Until very recently, it's become clear that our brains, although we think we all have healthy brains, you know, unless we're damaged in some way, it turns out that this, quote, normal healthy brain is actually well below what's possible. We didn't know this until just a few years ago, but the brain is capable of operating at a much higher level for just about everybody.
How do we know that we're capable of more? What science has actually supported that notion?
Okay, so there's been a great deal of work in the past probably 20 years, particularly in the last 10 years, most especially, on brain imaging, and also looking at the rate of neurogenesis. So although we've been looking at different brain function, it turns out that our rate of neurogenesis affects every level. So, for example, they did some studies with mice, and they wanted to see if they could increase their rate of neurogenesis, see if they could jumpstart them. And they gave them essentially a holistic treatment. I mean, that wasn't their word for it. That's my name for it. But what they gave them was an enriched environment, things like running wheels that they could exercise on, and great food, and lots of novel environments to explore, and nesting materials, and other friendly mice to play with and mate with. And they discovered that they could increase their rate of neurogenesis by 5 times.
Wow.
And the part of the brain in which neurogenesis happens, the hippocampus, was 1/6 larger than that of their normal neurogenesis rate peers.
That's amazing.
And they had big cognitive advantages over their normal neurogenesis rate peers. And And they also had big emotional advantages. Again, they were protected against stress, anxiety, depression, and they learned things really quickly. Mm-hmm. They were like little genius mice.
Right.
So they've done this experiment in other ways, with other animals, with uh-huh. other monkeys, with other mostly mammals, and similar results, that when you increase the rate of neurogenesis, you get an across-the-board increase in capacity.
Amazing. You know, I'm fascinated by this concept of how, in the example of the mouse experiment, by giving them the mice a different kind of environment and different kind of nurturing, that it actually increased their neurogenesis. And I'm going to be curious, we're going to be going to a quick break, but when we get back, Brant, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners how the information can be applied to our lives. If in fact there are ways for us to shift so that we have greater neurogenesis and then greater health. But we're going to go to a quick break. More with Dr. Brant Courtwright in a few moments.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
So far.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Brant Courtwright. He is the author of a fascinating new book called The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life. And he's also the author of a couple other books, and it's just fascinating information. Before the break, you blew away two of my long-term assumptions of, you know, you kill off brain cells, you don't get any new ones, and basically you can't, like, increase the capacity, you know, of your brain. But you're saying that those things aren't true. So with that mouse experiment, it's fascinating that you were able to increase their neurogenesis and hence their quality of life significantly. How does that relate to us as humans?
Well, it turns out that we live in a very neurotoxic world, a world that decreases our rate of neurogenesis. And this research is also new, that none of us knew this. We've all kind of stumbled into this world innocently. Uh-huh. The things we eat, the activities we do, we just kind of all assumed it was okay.
Right.
And there's now research coming out that's saying actually a lot of this is quite neurotoxic. And what that does, some of it actually does kill brain cells, but what mostly it does is it slows down our rate of neurogenesis.
So what sorts of things do that?
Degrades the whole quality of our life when that happens.
So what are some of these toxicities that you're referring to?
Okay. So this is a holistic approach to brain health and to neurogenesis, meaning body, heart, mind, spirit. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that these all work together synergistically,
right,
to increase our rate of neurogenesis. So there's a chapter on body, there's a chapter on heart and the emotional being, a chapter on mind, a chapter on spirit. And there's one whole chapter on diet, because that is also a particularly important piece of this.
Uh-huh.
So just about everybody eats a pretty neurotoxic diet, a diet that slows down your rate of neurogenesis. So I think of this as a twofold plan. We want to decrease or stop those things that slow down neurogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, we want to increase and eat those foods and do those things that increase our rate of neurogenesis.
Mm-hmm. So with the toxicity with the food, is it actually the things that we add, those additives, the pesticides, or does it go beyond that in terms of how our diet affects our neurogenesis?
Yeah, good question. It is both. It does definitely go beyond that. So certainly pesticides and poisons in our food have a lot of negative health consequences that are increasingly coming to light. But more than that, it's the general style in which we eat. So, for example, the brain is made of about two-thirds fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we need to do is eat a lot of good, healthy fats.
Oh.
And we also need to not eat unhealthy fats.
Okay. So can you share with our listeners what are the good ones and what are the bad ones?
Okay, yes. That's the exact right question. Unhealthy fats are oxidized fats. Oxidized means that the fat goes rancid, either through heat or through light.
Uh-huh.
Now, oxidized fats, when we consume them, enter the bloodstream and oxidize the cholesterol and the fat in our bloodstream.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, cooking with vegetable oil,
uh-huh,
which is something we've all been told to cook with,
right,
is a terrible idea, a really bad idea. It oxidizes. Vegetable oil oxidizes when you cook it. And so when those fats enter your bloodstream, they oxidize the cholesterol there,
uh-huh,
and that's what creates heart disease, creates atherosclerosis,
right,
and it creates inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And inflammation slows neurogenesis to a crawl.
Oh, interesting.
It is deadly for neurogenesis.
So
instead of cooking with vegetable oil, we want to cook with coconut oil,
right,
or butter or ghee, a saturated fat, which you can cook at higher temperatures with,
mm-hmm,
even tallow or lard.
Uh-huh.
Healthy fats would be things like avocados,
right,
nuts, pasture-raised eggs, pastured dairy, grass-fed beef, pastured chicken, wild-caught fish. These things are really, these have fats that are really good for the brain, unless we overcook them. They did this one experiment where they looked at people who ate fish 1 to 3 times a week, and they found that they had 16% more gray matter in the higher processing centers of the brain, unless they ate fried fish, in which case there was no difference. I mean, I hate to say this, because I used to love fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, that's yummy.
I probably still do, but I don't let myself eat it anymore because it's really bad for the brain, and particularly deep-fried stuff. The fats are deadly for the brain.
So one of the things you were talking about was pasture-raised and grass-fed. Are the fat contents of those food different from, say, those who are raised in barns or cages?
Yes, significantly different. So one thing we look at is the ratio between omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. And throughout our evolutionary history, we've eaten a ratio of about 1 to 1 or 1 to 2.
Okay.
But in today's diet, we eat more like 1 to 20 or 1 to 30 or 1 to 50, which is a very highly inflammatory diet, which is, again, terrible for neurogenesis. So with a grass-fed beef, there's a ratio of 1 to 1.65, which is just ideal. But with normal commercial beef, it's like 1 to 5, close to 1 to 5, which is very inflammatory and not so good.
Right, right. So is there something in diet besides the types of fats and how we cook with the fats that affect the neurogenesis?
There's another important piece. So the other sort of big macronutrient would be sugar and carbohydrates. So a high-sugar diet will cut your rate of neurogenesis in two. That's pretty scary, I think. That's pretty astonishing. When you think of the diet of the average American child who starts off the day with, I don't know what, sugar frosted flakes, orange juice. It's all sugar and bad fat. You can't grow a good brain that way. You can't. Like if you want to build a high-end house, you use good quality material, good lumber. Same with the brain. To build a good brain, to have a high rate of neurogenesis, we need to use good materials. We need these high-quality fats and low carbohydrates. And that's exactly the opposite diet we've been told to eat for the last 50 years.
No kidding. And the last 20, it's been, you know, fat makes you fat, eat the low fat, you know. And it's, in some cases, even gluten-free items that are filled with the processed carbohydrates. And that's sort of, that's you know, the way we've gone over the last few decades. And yet here we are, you know, having all these issues with inflammation that affect us in a variety of ways, but it sounds like it's affecting our brains too.
It's affecting our brain. It's affecting, it's responsible for this whole outbreak of heart disease and diabetes and obesity. It's terrible. And it's particularly bad for the brain. That's right.
Okay.
One other piece about good fats is omega-3 fatty acids. So two-thirds of the brain is fat, and one-third of that is DHA. Now, DHA is one of the three omega-3 fatty acids. So omega-3s consist of ALA, EPA, and DHA. And DHA is by far the most important for the brain. So they did a series of studies with monkeys where they raised monkeys, one group on a low omega-3 diet, and another group on a high omega-3 diet. And then they looked at their brains. And they found out that the monkeys on the low omega-3 diet had very simple, undifferentiated brains. But those monkeys on the high omega-3 diet had very complex, richly differentiated brains, almost like human beings. Now, when it comes to the brain, complexity is good. We want to see complexity. And omega-3s are one of the most powerful ways of increasing your rate of neurogenesis. You can increase it by 40% which is huge. Most people will need to do like a fish oil capsule to get this amount of omega-3. Most people can use 3, 4, 5 grams a day. But if you do a capsule, it's good to do one that has a high DHA content to it. Many of the fish oil capsules have a low DHA content, so you need to read the label. And also, you want a fish oil capsule that is molecularly distilled. Otherwise, it's likely to have mercury in it. And mercury is one of the most powerful neurotoxins known. So mercury concentrates in the food chain in the fish kingdom. The higher you go. So if it's not molecularly distilled, you're likely to get a big dose of mercury, which you do not want. So, so doing a lot of omega-3s is also very important. And the book goes into 25 or 30 different nutrients, like hesperidin, apigenin, luteal, flavonoids, and things like this that we often don't think about, but which have a very powerful stimulating effect on neurogenesis.
I'd love to just circle back for just a moment about the DHA and you're suggesting fish oil capsules. What about people who are vegetarians? Is there some alternative for them to raise their DHA?
Yeah, good question. Good question. So those people have been told to eat flax oil or chia seeds, chia oil. It turns out that flax oil has high amounts of ALA in it. Remember, there's ALA, EPA, and DHA. Now, your body will convert ALA to DHA, but at a very inefficient rate, something like 5% in healthy 18-year-olds, and it goes downhill from there. So they've tried raising people's DHA levels by supplementing with flax oil, and they haven't succeeded. It doesn't move the needle. So flax oil, chia seed oil, it doesn't work. However, there is now something out, which is DHA derived from algae. So the algae form of omega-3 is actually EPA, and your body does convert EPA to DHA. So they've done studies to show that supplementing with the algae form of omega-3 does indeed raise people's blood levels and brain levels of DHA.
Fascinating work here, and with some great advice. We're going to talk more about brain health and how that affects the rest of our life with some wonderful tips from Dr. Brant Courtwright when we return here in a few moments.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. Have you ever noticed that this reality doesn't actually work in a way that helps you thrive? I'm thrilled to announce that one of my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Glenna Rice, is bringing the incredible world of Access Consciousness to Seattle this December. You can register and learn more for the course that's coming up on December 4th by visiting drglennaevents.com. And when you're there, you're also going to find another event coming up in January that Gary Douglas is doing himself. So register now and wonder no more.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear, fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from
say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is coming up right around the corner on October 24th from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. with free admission located at the North Seattle Community College in the Conference Center. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. You won't want to miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org and we'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with the author of The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life, Dr. Brant Courtwright. Now, Brant, you know, you've talked about how neurogenesis is the name of the game and in terms of brain health, and you talked a lot about fats and how they affect that neurogenesis. Are there other things that we should be doing to help with our physical health?
Yeah, good question. It's a range of things we need to be doing. So diet is hugely important because that's the building blocks for our brain. But again, every level of our being contributes to the brain's stimulation and growth. Mm. So on the physical level, there's a number of things that are really helpful to stimulate neurogenesis. And the biggest one is exercise.
Okay.
So there's different kinds of exercise. You know, they're all good for the body. Yoga is good, weightlifting, aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to neurogenesis, there's only one form of exercise that's been shown to be helpful in stimulating neurogenesis. And that is aerobic exercise.
Interesting.
Aerobic exercise is anything that gets you breathing fast mm-hmm. and hard, your heart beating. So running, walking quickly, uh-huh. swimming, biking, fast dancing, walking up a mountain, anything that gets you breathing hard stimulates neurogenesis in a very powerful way. there was one neuroscientist who was being interviewed, and he was saying how everybody he knows in this field either runs or does some form of aerobic exercise
uh-huh.
because it's such a powerful way of stimulating neurogenesis.
Interesting.
Now, the problem is with running alone or with swimming alone
uh-huh.
is that about half of these new brain cells die off pretty soon.
Huh.
The brain prunes them pretty quickly. Unless we do other things. This is why the body, heart, mind, spirit holistic approach is important, because
okay.
certain things increase our rate of neurogenesis and certain other things keep those new neurons alive.
All right.
So the bioflavonoid hesperidin, it's a bioflavonoid derived from citrus fruits.
Uh-huh.
What that does in our diet is it keeps new brain cells alive. So although omega-3 will increase our rate of neurogenesis mm-hmm. by 40%,
uh-huh.
and running will increase our rate even beyond that, hesperidin will keep those new brain cells alive. So we'll have almost 100% survival rate for the new brain cell.
Fascinating. So when it kills off some of them, it's not like saying, okay, those ones aren't good. It's just they're dying off, and it's optimal to keep as many alive as possible then.
That's right. That the brain is always pruning itself. The brain is always under construction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think of the brain kind of like a computer, but it's a bad analogy because a computer is a solid state thing. And the brain is, it's more like a giant amoeba.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in motion. It's always moving. It's always pruning unused connections and neurons. And it's always building new connections and creating new neurons. It's continually in flux, in movement. So we want that movement to be as robust as possible. Mm-hmm. So we want to be stimulating the brain from all of these different ways. The brain thrives with optimal stimulation. You know, another thing that's neurotoxic is deprivation, uh-huh. not having any stimulation.
Okay.
Think of being somebody just in a hospital bed in a mm-hmm. back ward that doesn't even have a TV. It's just the brain just begins to shrivel when it doesn't get stimulated.
Uh-huh.
Again, stimulated at every level, body, heart, mind, spirit.
Okay, so you've talked a lot about the physical. How does the heart relate to all of this?
Okay, good. So one of the things that really lowers neurogenesis is stress. And stress, as you know, is endemic. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
just about everybody is complaining of too much stress.
Yep.
So there are two types of stress, kind of like fats, good fats and bad fats. There's mm-hmm. good stress and there's bad stress. So good stress is short-term and moderate stress. And that's the kind of stress that builds us up, that makes us stronger. Kind of like exercising a muscle. When we exercise the muscle, we then stop, uh-huh. the muscle breaks down, and then it builds up even stronger.
Okay.
And it's the same with stress. When we have short-term, moderate stress, it's like life is challenging us.
Uh-huh.
And that challenge brings forth new capacities in us.
So,
brings forth new abilities in the brain, and that's mm-hmm. good for us. Actually, neurogenesis is stimulated when we have short-term, moderate stress that uh-huh. challenges us.
So could you give us some examples of what that might be, what some of those good, moderate stressors might be?
It could be an interpersonal encounter
uh-huh.
where my lover gets mad at me
uh-huh.
and we work it through and come out the other end,
mm-hmm.
and we've successfully negotiated a difficult spot.
Right.
Or it can be meeting a work challenge that is a kind of in this sweet spot, in this optimal zone of stress
uh-huh.
that matches my abilities, matches my capacities. It's not too much for me,
uh-huh.
so I get too stressed out by it. It's not too little, and I get bored with it.
Right.
It just meets my abilities, and I come up with some creative solution. Neurogenesis is stimulated. I feel better. I've grown in my professional work. These kind of things.
Okay.
So
that's the good kind of stressors.
Right. That's the good kind of stress. The bad kind of stress is chronic stress. Chronic stress or extreme stress. And it's really chronic stress that most people complain of
mm-hmm.
in their lives.
Right.
It's this chronic, unrelenting, 24/7, constantly being available by email, by text,
mm-hmm.
to work, to friends, constantly being online, not having any break from it.
Right.
That kind of stress actually slows neurogenesis to a crawl, slows it way, way down. and actually, chronic stress and extreme stress can shrink the hippocampus. It can actually
wow.
kill neurons in the hippocampus.
Uh-huh.
Alzheimer's, for example, does this as well. So with chronic stress, what we need to do is try to find some way to take a break from it,
mm-hmm.
to break it up so that our body can return to homeostatic balance. To go off and exercise, to go off and just play with friends,
uh-huh.
to unplug from the internet,
right.
some way of just getting some relief so that our body can relax and begin to restore itself.
Uh-huh.
So chronic stress is hugely damaging to the body.
Okay.
And stressful relationships,
mm-hmm.
or like having, you know, very angry relationships is also neurogenesis slows way down, like bullying relationships,
uh-huh.
damages the brain, slows down neurogenesis. The brain, on the other hand, thrives with loving, supportive relationships.
Interesting.
When we have loving, supportive relationships, the brain begins to flower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in some ways, this is like common sense,
yeah, yeah.
but it's nice that neuroscience really backs us up with actual research to show that our brain thrives in this kind of an environment.
That is interesting, that it's actually healthy for generating more and more cells and maybe even increasing the size. That's just so cool. You know, I know that you go even deeper in your book and with the work that you offer people. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back. But before we go to break, Brent, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you?
Okay. We'll have a website, brantcourtright.com, BRANTCORTRIGHT. And the book you can get at Amazon or any bookstore can order it. Or you can go to the book's website, which is neurogenesisdiet.com. Mm-hmm. And you can read the first chapter there, too.
So more about wonderful ways to increase your brain health and increase the joy and in your life when we return here in a few moments.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a fascinating conversation today with Dr. Brant Courtright. And Brant, you know, you've talked a lot about brain health and how we can increase our brain health and how that brain health actually translates into a better life in certain ways. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who have either had to deal with a relative who has had Alzheimer's or dementia, or they're starting to get to that, be at that age when they're starting to be concerned about preventing it within their own lives. What does this research say about Alzheimer's?
Yeah, this is the big, huge issue. And this is the first real glimmer of hope that we've seen really on the horizon for this. You know, right now, at least according to the Alzheimer's Association website, 1 in 3 seniors currently dies with either Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia.
Wow, 1 in 3.
One in three, isn't that astonishing?
Oh my goodness.
And within a few years, it looks like 50% of those who reach the age of 85 will have Alzheimer's.
Oh my goodness. Now,
yeah, that's really scary because most of us are expected to live to be 85.
Right.
So that gives us a 50-50 chance. Now, conventional medicine right now has nothing to offer this. Also on the Alzheimer's website, it says this is the only major disease for which there's currently no treatment, no cure, or no prevention.
Wow.
And the pharmaceutical companies have spent billions of dollars on drug trials, literally billions of dollars and hundreds of drug trials, trying to come up with a drug that would help. And it has been, thus far, a complete failure.
Interesting.
Zip. Nothing. They've come up with absolutely nothing. So right now, according to conventional medicine, things look very bleak.
You bet.
However, in the past year, there's been some very interesting research come out from a holistic perspective. Now, most research in this area isn't done from a holistic perspective. It's done by drug companies or academic researchers who are looking to find the next new patentable drug to make $1 billion on.
Yeah, exactly.
Holistic research, most of the things are free or cost very little.
Uh-huh.
And so almost nobody does that kind of research.
Yes.
But there's a place here in California called the Buck Institute on Aging. And late last year, they came out with a study that showed, this came out actually just a few months before my book came out. So I talk about it just very briefly. What they did was they also did a holistic treatment approach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't call it that, but it's, again, it was a body, heart, mind, spirit. What they did was, it was actually a very simplified version of what is in the book. And what they found was that they were able to reverse the cognitive decline associated with Alzheimer's in this small group of participants, so that even those people who had had to leave their work because of memory problems were able to regain their memory and go back to work for the 2 years that they followed them.
That's amazing.
It is. It's really amazing. And just a few months ago, in the British medical journal Lancet, there was another study published by Finnish researchers. And this was the first randomized controlled study of 1,200 people that showed you could actually prevent cognitive decline in an at-risk population. And they, again, used a very simplified version of what's in the book, a holistic approach, and were able to prevent cognitive decline for the 2 years that they followed this group in this Finnish study.
That's amazing. So basically what you're saying is what you've laid out in your book has been shown in a randomized trial, that kind of approach to actually prevent this disease.
That's right. That's
right.
Exciting. It's really exciting. It looks like a holistic approach like this is right now the only approach for which there is any research validation to show this is helpful.
That gives me chills.
This is extremely helpful.
Yeah, and I mean it's really exciting in terms of preventing this horrible disease and giving people hope too, to have some power to shift it so that it can either get better or prevent it altogether. But it's also exciting, Brant, because from the framework of, there's been this what I consider to be this imbalance between the sort of the pharmaceutical approach and the holistic approach. And there have been people who've sort of exited the pharmaceutical approach and tried to create, more holistic lives. And yet here is something that the pharmaceutical industry can do nothing about. and the holistic approach works, which means it's actually going to be, if the attention's paid to it, it's actually going to help people to understand the importance of the holistic approach.
That's it exactly. And this whole thing is extremely encouraging and exciting. And since Alzheimer's is a disease that begins decades before we actually see symptoms, now is the time to start for all of us, really.
It
also is just one other thing. It's also clear from this that Alzheimer's is a lifestyle disease. It's not just an inevitable part of aging.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle disease.
Wow,
and part of that lifestyle is also diet.
Uh-huh.
So some people are now calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes.
Interesting. That
it's both an inflammatory disease, and it involves a disorder of glucose metabolism. So it kind of gets us back into diet as another piece of this as well.
Right. And, you know, your entire approach goes well beyond diet and exercise, doesn't it? And you've also talked about, you know, connecting emotionally. What other aspects of life can help improve our brain health and improve the quality of our life?
Good. So, again, body, heart, mind, spirit. We want to engage the brain on all of these levels.
Mm-hmm.
The brain thrives with optimal engagement. The brain wants it to be used. It wants its capacities to be exercised.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we get an increase in neurogenesis and we get these new potentials that come forth. So another level is mental stimulation, using our minds, being lifelong learners. That is really critical. A lot of people think, well, I'll just do crossword puzzles, or I'll do a brain game, or do a computer game. And the research that's now been coming out about these computer games is not very encouraging.
Interesting.
What it looks like is that people get better and the brain gets better at doing that particular brain game, but that it doesn't generalize to other parts of cognition. It doesn't generalize even to other computer games.
Mm-hmm.
So doing crossword puzzles is helpful for doing more crossword puzzles.
Right.
Up to about 50, and after that, there's not even that much of an increase.
Uh-huh.
So what we need to do is learn in a variety of ways and engage the mind in a variety of ways. It's sort of like cross-training the brain.
Uh-huh.
So we need to be reading. We need to be writing, even if it's just emails or texts, but using our words, having conversations with people. Talking to people about the movie we just saw. What did you think of that? What did it stir in you? Music, using the right brain as well as the left brain. And mostly being a lifelong learner. That is what is most critical. Learning new things. Being curious about the world. It doesn't have to take a class from a college, but we can do things, learning things on the internet, by reading, by taking a cooking class, by traveling to new parts of the world.
And by listening to conversations such as this. I think
that's right. That's right. People's neurogenesis is increasing by listening to this radio show. That's absolutely right.
Right. So how does this relate to consciousness? Because early on you talked about how that was sort of your motivation to really be looking at the brain.
Yeah, good question. So it turns out that spiritual practice also appears to increase our rate of neurogenesis, and it appears to increase it along the entire length of the hippocampus. So certain activities will increase it along the emotional side of the hippocampus. Certain other things will increase it along the other axis involved in memory and cognition and the body. But spiritual practice, at least two types of spiritual practice, appear to increase neurogenesis along the entire axis of the hippocampus. And there's two particular meditation practices that seem to be effective that have been explored.
And we're going to have to do this really quickly because we're about to go out. So what are the two different practices?
Okay, so the first one is mindfulness practice, and the second one is devotional or heart-opening practices, like devotional prayer, bhakti practices, love, devotional practices, and together with mindfulness practices. Both of these approaches seem to have a very powerful effect on the brain and the rate of neurogenesis.
Wonderful. This is fascinating information. I encourage you all to get the Neurogenesis Diet by Dr. Brant Courtwright. Thank you so much for joining us here, Brant. I really appreciate it.
This was a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, and thanks for tuning in today. Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.